5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on. Radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening, one and all. Oh, good evening, one, if dear listener is the only one listening tonight. Yeah, it is. What is it? Yes, it is. It's Thursday, and it is 9:30 Central, and it is the brand new Panic. Well, it's not brand new anymore. It's a bit old now. Jaded. Panic Room episode 59, and coming to you loud and proud from Houston. We are still here. I'm still here, which is nice. Unblown away and unflooded. So yeah, it's been a week or two, I have to say, but always nice to be back on the air with all the malarkey. Really, not much to rant about tonight, other than obviously Trump is getting a bit wearing now, bless him. And old Kim, he with a bad haircut. He's obviously still aiming missiles at Japan and threatening Israel. I think a lot of his missiles are cardboard. Personally, they just made them out of cornflake packets. I think a lot of them, and you know, straps are sort of a one of those. Stress, those little whizzy stress things to it, and so it's a nuclear weapon. I think it's bullshit, to be honest. I think he's just trying to wind Trump up, and what a great job he's doing. And Trump, the big kid that he is he's falling for it. So it's going to be interesting times. We've got that going on. We've got the hurricanes going on. So heaven only knows if we will make episode 60. If not, it's been a good run. We've done well. So, well, I tell you what I'm going to do, because I've been lonely this week, I have to say. So I'm going to bring my one and only Extina on, who makes this show the well-oiled machine that it is. And, of course, she is always well-oiled, bless her. But we're going to bring her on. We've got our own theme tune. We're going to play her in.
Come on, I'm with you.
Come on. Well, oh, I could play all day with that guy as well. Well, with a yee-haw, the yippity-doo. How are you this evening, Xtina?
I much prefer the wine bottle cork thing. I much prefer that.
I love that. You know, that cheers me. Okay, we can do that as well. That cheers me.
I don't need both.
I like this. You deserve both. Really, I like that because it's a jolly tune, isn't it?
Yeah, so jolly.
We're going to have a whole corner trails from the trailer park. We're going to call it, and you can regale us with stories of donkeys and pit bulls and rusted old trucks.
I know. I told you I just spotted a donkey like 2 blocks. I don't even know if you can consider them blocks really, because it's just, you know, they're not
really
blocks.
It's trailers, isn't it?
Yeah. But there's a donkey, and that's just weird to me that there's a donkey out here. But and then of course the weird. Birds and roosters, which they're not too strange. That's okay and everything. But and then there's this one area that it's like there's a whole bunch of dogs, and they're in this enclosure that looks to me like a trampoline. It's the strangest thing. I don't understand.
You know, it probably is. I have seen that done before, actually. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I'm wondering if they're doing dog fights or something. I mean, the dogs always seem really jolly. They're
children.
Yeah, it's just like a whole other world out here. I will say that it's nothing like normal. I always thought that it was like a stereotype, you know, totally just a stereotype. But it's not.
But they're stereotypes for a reason. They're stereotypes because that's exactly how they are. To be honest,
that's very true. So I'm. Just trying not to get too comfortable here, you know, for obvious reasons. But
too comfortable with the donkey.
Yeah, oh God. And if you ever hear me sounding too southern, please bring it to my attention. I hear some of these people around me, and just the way they talk, and it's I never want to talk like that. I don't. I mean. There, oh my goodness, there was this one guy, and he was saying something about his feelings, but he said Phelans, and I remember it took me forever. I was like, what the hell is a Phelan? Like, I had no idea what he was talking about. He's feelings, as he was trying to say, but that's not how it came out, and it just, but even in my head, I kept saying it over and over again, going, Phelans, what is that?
Well, I say, welcome to my world. I mean, it's funny enough, actually, with my, India, obviously, your regular listeners all know India. You know, there are times now that she's getting more and more sort of South Texas, I guess, that I'm struggling to understand her a little bit now. And I know as she gets older, my son, he's sort of still quite noticeably Yorkshire, although his Americanism is, you know, ingrained now, but... She's very, very Southern Belle, and I have the odd. And she'll look at me. I have to ask about 4 times. What? And she'll repeat it.
Cute.
What? And she looks at me like I'm some sort of, you know, senile old fart. And I'm sorry, I haven't got a fucking clue what you're talking about. Oh, Dad. Oh, Daddy, you're so old. Well, that's not old. I'm foreign. That's what it is. Which is why whenever. I try to have a conversation. It's funny. My son's girlfriend's parents are very, 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 very Mexican. Don't speak an awful lot of English, although their English is better than my son. So me trying to have a conversation with them, we just smile a lot. And yeah, and he'll say something to me in his English, and I have no idea. And I'll say something to him, and he has no. You can tell. He just nods and smiles, and we have no idea what the other's saying at all.
That's perfect. Perfect.
It's just, we get on all right. It's all right. It makes things...
Yeah, who needs...
I can imagine a dinner party being dull, but, you know, for a few minutes, we do have to interact. It's interesting, but they are nice people, I think. I mean, they could be, you know, saying anything.
I love that, though. They're nice people, I think.
I wouldn't know. I would
Who knows
not know.
What they're really saying?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't.
That's awful.
So, hey, do we have a show? I think we may well have.
We've got
Lance Tucker, who is a great guy. We must ask him more about his biker days. And we have Stevie J. Cole, who up until recently I didn't realise that she was a lady. So Stevie, sorry about that.
That's not true. We had her on the show before. She's lovely.
I don't remember what I'd had for lunch yesterday, let alone old shows. So
I know. You know, the funny thing is we had there was a controversy a couple weeks back, or maybe a little longer than that now, about a banned book. And I was like, oh my God, I have to have her on the show. And then I went to message her, and I'm like, oh wait, we had her on the show. I completely forgot about that.
Kay
Webster.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
it's funny what sticks and what doesn't in my head. I mean, most things don't
me
these
too.
Days, but
yeah, me
most
too.
Things
that was
don't.
I had to go back and listen to that show, and I'm like, that was actually a good show. I don't know how I forgot it.
You don't sound so surprised. No, it was actually a good show.
I was probably drinking, yeah.
Usual bilge. The usual bilge we turn out week in, week out. But as I said on the intro, we're lucky we're here. I mean, it was a closed room thing, you know. Literally every subdivision around us flooded except this one. How the hell, you know, we must be on a bit of higher ground or something, but we dodged. And seeing people's stuff piled up, obviously they're stripping the houses out, stripping the drywall and the carpets out, and it's upsetting. I mean, it's for me, let alone them, you know, just to see all of that, you know, the destruction around here is just horrible. It's horrible, horrible. And of course now we've got Irma's just flattened the Bahamas, and he's heading over towards Florida. So, yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, I know lots of people in Florida. It's very, family and everything, so.
Yeah. Sadly, my sister, my wife's sister, they in Jacksonville, Florida. I was thinking, well, at least they're out of Florida at the moment. They're working a mission in Haiti. Oh, shit. Which is, I think he's been battered as we speak. So hopefully they're all right. Hopefully I'll have to drop her a mess. Hopefully we'll hear from them. Hope that they are okay. But the thing, they've just flown, you know, them and the kids over. She's a nurse and he's a minister of some description. So hopefully they're okay. Hopefully. But
Yeah,
it is. So, hey, so what have we got going on tonight, Xtina? Do tell.
You've already spilled the beans, you know, our guest. But our first guest is Stevie J. Cole, and I'm really excited to talk to her again. She's a returning guest, and
she's somebody who should know better then.
Yes.
Really. Why do they keep coming back? You think once would be, and I'm not going on there again. Not going on there again. So I tell you what, shall we bring Stevie on and have a little chin wag? Should we
Definitely.
Do that? I think it's what
wag.
We do.
Yeah.
Chin wag, yeah. Yorkshire. Stevie, are you there?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm trying not to talk too southern. I won't say Phelan's, all right?
Phelan's. Yeah. I was like, that is...
Phelan's. Fixin' is my favorite. Everything here is.
Yeah, if you need a what do you call it, interpreter? I'm your lady. I can do it. I can interpret the southern dialect.
Yeah, but can you interpret Yorkshire? Could you do that? That's a challenge.
More than likely, my best friend lives in Salisbury, so I think I can.
Oh,
no,
wow.
It's not. No, not even close. No. Seriously, not even close.
Well, I mean, I know you're like way farther north, but you know, mm-hmm. I can do it.
I have faith in you. I think you could. Yeah.
Excellent. I do need it. I was just saying earlier. I even with my own daughter, I'm starting to need an interpreter now. So.
But I think mm-hmm. That might be Texas, because I grew up for a couple of years in Texas when I was, I think it was from like 5 to 11, 12-ish or something, and my family up north could not understand me. I remember my grandmother, you know, asking my mom, what was she talking about? So, and I blame Texas for that. I do. So that's the only reason I say I hope I don't pick up any kind of, you know, crazy Southern accent, because I think I'm prone to them. And I don't know.
Well, they make it really hard to understand. That's bad. We make up our own words and everything. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, in like with you know, talking to James as often as I do, there, you know, you say this, it's something that you type all the time, but what is it, ta, you know, T-A? Like, for the longest time, I had no idea that that was actually a word. I was like, what does that mean? The only thing I could, think of was there was a Stephen King book. I think it was like The Regulators or Desperation. And the bad guy, he kept making that weird sound, like tack or something like that.
Oh, that was
T-A-K.
Desperation, yeah.
That's the only thing I could think of that you were doing. I'm like, what is that?
Awesome.
I know, I had no idea. So.
Oh, bless.
I know. I know.
Bless. You're just coming across as a bit sad now, to be honest, so.
Shut up, I'm just going to drink some more now.
You do that. So Stevie is here, she's returning. As I say, you really should know better, shouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Here to talk about Stone, Pandemic Sorrow Book 4, which is out later
mm-hmm.
this month. I've done what I always do. I have read ahead, and this is some seriously hot stuff. So I, for one, I'm looking forward to the reading. Tagline, fame ruins you, love destroys you. So, before the reading, tell us a little bit about it, Stevie.
Well, Jag is the first book in the Pandemic Sorrow series, and it was actually my first book. So it came out 3 years ago tomorrow, I think. And so I just kind of go back and write the other characters. And so I finally decided I needed to stop writing some of the dark stuff and cleanse my mind a little bit. So I started writing Stone. It's more of a really dirty romantic comedy. I guess
awesome.
Is a good way to put it. Yeah.
I love the whole the rocker thing. I've never actually no, I take that back. What was that book I read? It was a like rock and roll romance thing. Oh gosh, what was that called? Because it was the name I don't remember, but it was one of those the ending was like horrible. Like, it was, like, so bad.
Carnage.
Like, yes, that was it.
Not
that
horrible,
was it.
But it was, like, sad. It was very sad.
Yes, I mean, not horrible. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, I remember finishing that book and, like, oh, my gosh, I want to walk into oncoming traffic now. And so, that was the only book I ever read with the whole rock thing. But I liked it, though. I did. So I can't. I want to read this And you said they're all standalone, like all of the books in the series are standalone?
And they're actually like true standalones. Jag was my first one, like I said, and it's a romance and it's dirty. It's erotica. I guess erotica. I don't know. I'm still like, don't know exactly what the genres are. I'm kind of like, yeah, it's got dirty sex, and does that mean it's erotica? But his is kind of like, it's really raw and gritty and it's funny, but it also tackles addiction a lot. Yeah, because I've had friends and stuff that have overdosed, like that I went to high school with and stuff, and I used to, you know, date a guy that was in a band and stuff, and so it's kind of like that. So it's funny, but it's got a really serious element to it, whereas Rush, which is the second one, is more humorous because that character, there's just no way to make him serious, and this one's more funny. It still has some serious elements to it, but it's just kind of like a light, funny, dirty read. They're fun. I like writing them. They're my dirty, dirty boys.
I want to hear more. Do you have a reading for us?
Yeah, I can read you. I didn't want to read any of Stone because I haven't edited it, and I don't know what may change yet.
Right.
But I can read a little excerpt from Rush, and he's something. So I guess just go ahead and start reading?
Yes, ma'am. It's all yours.
Okay. I stopped mid-thrust. A bead of sweat trickled down my temple as I opened my eyes to see if she was joking. Her eyes were closed, a thick purple eyeshadow caked on her lids, sparkling under the dim lights in the bus. I'd heard plenty of crazy shit, but this was out there. I mean, for someone I'd just met 15 minutes ago. "You want me to do what?" I grunted, arching a brow. "Choke me. Just a little." She didn't even open her eyes. All she did was wet her lips and toss her head back, continuing to grind over my cock. "You know, just cut the oxygen off for a second," she panted. I guess she wanted to let me know she was serious because she furiously butt like a bull on top of me. My hold on her perfect ass tightened, and I fought to hold on to her. "I don't know." "Don't be a push." She grabbed my hands from her ass and placed them on my neck. The movement caused me to lose my balance, and we stumbled against the window. She shot me a horny ass there of a look. "Do it." I shrugged and continued meeting her hard thrust with my hips. Her heel dug into the top of my ass, and figuring what the hell, I squeezed just a little on her neck. At that moment, that question from the loony doctor's form a few months back flashed through my head. "Have you ever hurt someone from your sexual behaviors? Fuck trying to control this. It wasn't worth it. It felt too good. Give me back all the control I lost when I signed my contract with the record company. After all, it was just sex. Why control something that's part of nature?" I swallowed those thoughts down into my stomach and rammed into her with as much force as I could. My fingers still laced around her throat. "Oh, fuck yeah," she sucked in a deep breath. "Do it harder." Her order was coated with a satanic growl. Like at any minute, her eyes were going to start twitching and her head was going to rotate all the way around. This girl was fucking insane. She slammed herself down on me harder, almost causing me to lose my balance again. I really wasn't having to do much work, aside from play choking her just a little. "Do it before I get off." She was like a demon-possessed Barbie doll with a hungry hunt. I tightened my grip and she moaned, her body roughly working me over. Could feel everything inside of me gathering in my stomach, spreading out in my crotch, and I lost my shit completely. I blew my load, and I guess the excitement of all kind of blocked out the fact that my hands were constricting her neck really, really hard now. "Fuck, babe," I growled, and suddenly felt her body go limp. My cock was still twitching from orgasm, and she wasn't moving. "Hey. Hey," I shouted as she languidly sunk down my chest, her back screeching against the window before she fell onto the couch of the tour bus. Reaching down, I grabbed her arm and held it up. "Hey." When I let it go, it fell weightlessly onto the seat. She wasn't moving at all. Adrenaline pumped through me instantly, and I chanted, "Holy fuck, holy fuck, holy fucking fuck." I wiped my hands down my face, my jaw completely unhinging. So stare at this naked girl lying lifelessly in front of me. I had to do something. I just had no idea what. I was high, I was naked, and now I was scared as shit. I don't know what was more pathetic, the fact that I had no idea how to handle the situation or that my go-to for advice was Jag Still, drug addict and man whore extraordinaire. "Help! Jag, dude, help me!" I shouted. "Shit, I'm going to go to jail. Holy fuck, I'm a murderer. Oh, fuck, fuckity fuck," I wailed, turning in circles in a small area. "Jag!" Jag came barreling down the tiny hallway, his hands covering his dick and his ball smacking against the sides. "What the fuck, man? I've got two bitches back there, naked as fuck. I was face deep in..." He froze as soon as he saw the girl who was still motionless on the couch. "What the hell did you do, Rush?" His eyes flew up from the girl to me. "Why was here? What the hell? I don't know, dude. She wanted me to choke her in." "Choke her? You fucking choked a fan?" Jag let go of his dick and his hand slipped to his head, his eyes now bulging. "Man, I didn't want to. She insisted. She threatened my manhood. She called me a push. Shit, just, this is bad." I paced. Jag paced. Jag spun around a few times, reciting the word fuck over and over again. Then he hurled himself down towards the unconscious girl and yanked her from the couch to the floor, her head smacking the carpet with a thud. "Dude, what are you doing? Shut the fuck up, Rush. CPR. We gotta try CPR." Leaning over her body, he grew hysterical and clamped down her nose, his eyes pulsing open as they shot back up to me. "Oh, fuck, what the hell do you do?" he panted. "Do I breathe in her mouth first or pump in her chest?" He looked up at me for instruction, and I frantically came through my ear. "How the hell am I supposed to know?" And so there you go, yeah.
That's it? You're done right now? No. Keep going.
I feel like it's too long. I'm like just bleeding and it's all this long, like naked.
Oh my gosh.
CPR, choking, dying people. I don't know.
Is she really dead?
No. No, the door flings open, the rest of the band comes in, the manager comes in, so they're all naked. There's like three naked rock stars trying to bring this girl back to life, and she finally like opens her eyes and is like, "Oh my god, that was badass," and just like grabs her panties and trots off. Yeah.
I love it. I could actually see it as you were reading it. I could see it. That was awesome. I love that.
Yay. Yeah. I like Rush. This is my second book, so it's kind of interesting to see because it's been so long since I've written one of these. How different Stone is a little bit, but I mean, it's still the same. It's just different. So,
yeah.
But I think it's always kind of be my favorites because they were my first babies. So,
yeah. And being that it's, rock and roll, and do you have lyrics or songs that the band plays? And I mean,
actually, I did in the first one because I used to write when I first started writing when I was little. I started writing poetry, so I have all these books of poetry and like songs and lyrics. I actually had a couple in the first in Jag's book.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my friends that writes songs was going to write a song to it, and then I don't know what happened to that, you know. And, oh, the funny thing is, actually, I was sending, like, 3 or 4 chapters of Stone to one of my betas last night and accidentally sent the Word document to my child's teacher. So, you know, I just read you how Rush was, so you can imagine how Stone is. So my child's teacher now has 3 chapters of that. Yeah. I'm like, she hasn't responded. I couldn't recall it. And I'm sitting here going, I can't ever look her in the face again. Like, this is... This is not good.
I saw that. I actually saw that status update of yours, and I was like, oh, my gosh, that's, that, you know, that could work for our embarrassing question, by the way. But
yeah.
That was awesome.
I tell you, I mean, the guy or gal who invents, you know, the method where you could delete texts and emails when once you've sent them will make billions.
It's got to be, you know, it needs to be.
It really does.
Have you seen that that thing on Facebook Messenger where you can send like a secret message to somebody? Have you seen that?
I have. I've never done it, but
My son sent me a message the other day. He's like, "Hurry up before they read it." You know, he was just messing around with me, but I'm like, what is this for? And it actually came up on my phone. It said something like, you know, this message will. Oh, what did it say? Well, disappear after it was like, you know, 10 seconds or something. That, you know, just made me think it was going to like detonate or explode or something.
Amazing.
Yeah, it
but screenshots
happen,
last forever. You know?
Ooh, that's true.
Well, I forget which, I think one of the mobile phone people where you can send a text and then I think you've got like 10 seconds to then delete. I guess it holds it before it sends it on. But most, you know, it's the next morning you think, shit, I really wish I hadn't sent that.
Yep, exactly.
Usually when you slow it up a bit, you know, oh dear. It's funny when we used to, back in England, we used to run our own company and blah, blah, blah. And there's somebody just really royally fucked us about and pissed me off. And we'd actually been to our company Christmas party, Christmas do to all the staff out for a big piss up. Coming back in the traffic, and I'm there just in the taxi, very, very quietly, just tapping away on my phone. And then I started getting responses back, and the wife said, well, hang on, what are you doing? So I'm Robert Smith, the guy's name is. He won't be listening if he is. Robert, you're a cunt. I sent him a text to him, said, you're a cunt. And he got all pissy about it. And she took my phone off me. And every time I went out after that, she took my phone off me. I wasn't allowed to have it and drink.
That's amazing.
One day it'll come out in a story probably. I'll tell you what he did, but he deserved it. He deserved it and more.
Oh my gosh.
So I was going to ask you, Stevie. You were saying that you write dark a lot, and you mm-hmm. you in this book is not. Did you needed a break from the dark? Did you?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say dark. I still don't like. I think dark romance is not very. It's very ill defined because you know. But I write more suspenseful stuff and like psychological romances and stuff like that. My best selling series I co-wrote with my best friend, and it's Wrong, and it's kind of like mafia mob type stuff. There's a lot of violence and all that kind of stuff, and you kind of get into that, and you just need to like clean your head out a little bit because it gets to be like.
A lot.
I don't know. I worry about Stephen King. I'm like, how he's saying, I really don't know.
Well, I do think he's mellowed out some, though. I mean, if you think about some of the horrors from, you know.
Yeah, true. Right.
Yeah, and I don't think they're near as horrific as they used to be. And I've seen that a few authors, actually. Dean Koontz, I think he went through, you know, he was really horrific back in the earlier days, and then kind of, I don't know, the books that I remember like 5 or 6 and I don't remember how many years ago this was, but they weren't as horrific as he was pretty much known for. So I do think that, you know, even the great horror writers need a break from the horror occasionally, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think like it takes the one book that we did that was really messed up. And then I wrote this other book that was kind of it was kind of really just a horror, but it takes you to a place where you start to go, well, I don't want to stay here too long, because you have to get in the mindset of the character. When you're getting the mindset of a psychopath, it's not the best place to be. So,
yeah.
Like, give me my dirty, like, rock stars, and I hate that.
Yeah, me too. That was I liked that reading. I did.
Yay.
So what are you working on now? Are you
I'm still trying to tidy Stern up and get it where I want it. And then after that, next week after I get that edited up, me and Lauren are starting on Bad. It's another darker romance. It's about this Russian, like, I don't know, mob lord, I guess, that wants to control the world. He's a little crazy. I think that's my favorite cover we've ever had. If you've seen it on my page, it's, I don't know, I think I may have to get a big canvas and put it behind my desk because it's pretty amazing. But got Rick. I can't say his last name. I will completely mess it up because he's German. But yeah,
and
he looks nice.
He's your character?
Yes. Yeah.
And you can't say his last name, really?
Like, well, no. The model. He's like, he portrays the model.
Gotcha.
I mean, the character,
gotcha.
As far as the model of the book. No, the guy in the book is Ronan Cole, and I did not name him that. Lauren named him that because she's like, he should have your last name. That's his last name. I'm like, okay. But yeah. No, I can't say the model's last name.
Okay. Well, that's okay then. Okay. I was wondering the name of the series that you were reading, Pandemic Sorrow. Is that's the name of the rock band, right?
Mhm.
Yeah. How did you come up with that name? Like, what you know?
I don't know. I was sitting with my sister-in-law because actually she's like, I want you to write me a rock star book. And I was like, okay. Because I used to go to rock shows all the time, me and her did. And so I was like, all right. And I don't know, pandemic just sounded like some, you know. I was in epidemiology, so I guess that's where I got that from. And sorry, I used to use that a lot in my poetry. And, you know, Jag, the lead singer, kind of has bouts of depression. So.
It's a really great name. It really is. I like
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think there should be a rock band named Pandemic Sorrow.
I think there should be now. Yeah, or I could see it as like a show, like on show on like MTV or something. That would be really cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That would be totally awesome.
Oh, I don't remember if we did this with you the last time you were on the show, but do we have the jingle, James, for 11 questions?
Yes,
I don't think so.
Is he taking a nap? Are you napping, James? Are you?
No, and now, 11 questions.
Okay, Stevie, what's your guilty pleasure?
Wine.
Oh, it's a good one. Good one. I think mine too. Baked beans, ranch style or pork and beans?
Ranch style, I guess.
Do you know what they are? You said, I guess, with like a question mark. Do you know?
I don't really eat baked beans, so. But I don't like pork, so I would go with the ones without the pork.
Because I still, I've never had these ranch style, and for the longest time I did not believe they actually existed, but I have seen a picture now. I was just wondering if it's something you actually liked or. But just not.
No, I've never heard of it.
Puppies or kittens?
Kittens.
They have claws, though. They claw you.
I know, but they use a litter box, and puppies poop in your floor.
Oh, my goodness. I have a really gross story about kittens and puppies and a litter box, and I'm thinking somebody... We have a thief in the house because somebody is stealing the kitty poo. And I think it's the doggy.
My dog eats my cat.
They're eating it. Oh, that is vile. Ew.
It is. But,
she
you know, it's saving me time.
So gross.
It's so gross. Okay, here
Moving
we go.
On.
Yeah. What's your favorite lunch meat?
I don't eat lunch meat. Is that an answer?
That's,
I'm weird. I don't eat meat.
Yeah, that's an okay answer, actually. I'm not a huge meat person either. That sounded really strange when I said that, but as long as you didn't say turkey. You know, I frown on the turkey one. here we go. Oh, what was your first car?
Z28 Camaro.
Ooh, that's a good one.
No,
what color
I
was
that for?
What color
it's
was
like
it?
A blue with three-phase paint, so like purple or black, depending on how the light hit it.
Nice. I like that. What do you fear most, snakes or spiders?
Oh, God, snakes.
Oh, really? Really?
Yes.
No, there's something about those legs, and especially tarantulas, and they're hairy. Oh, God, I can't deal with spiders. Freddy, Jason, or Pinhead?
Oh, God, like which one I like or which one I'm, like, most scared of?
Either or. You know, either or. It's up to you. Although we did have a guest one time that decided to tell us her, you know, who she would fuck, marry, or kill for, you know, as, you know, with Freddy, Jason, or Pinhead. And that was an interesting discussion.
God, see, I don't know. Freddy Krueger freaks me out because he's like in your dreams. But then the chainsaw, like, I can't handle chainsaws because that movie, like, if someone is outside cutting up a tree with a chainsaw, I literally, like, start getting sweats. I hate it.
Oh, and James, I wanted to tell you, guess who saw Hellraiser a couple nights ago?
You didn't.
I did.
You did.
I did.
Yay. What did you think? Best movie ever.
Well, I don't know if I would go that far, but it definitely was interesting. I liked it, yeah. Okay.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I finally. here we go. First draft, handwritten or word processor?
Word processor.
Right. I don't know anybody who handwrites anything anymore.
No.
favorite alcoholic drink, you're going to say wine, right?
Yeah, wine or tequila, either or.
Ooh, yeah?
Straight tequila, yeah.
Oh, straight tequila, ugh.
I've got hair on my chest from it.
Yeah. Wow. Here we go. This is number 11. Not to be confused. Anyway, we're missing a question, and it's very bothersome. I'm very upset, wondering where this question went to. It's just gone, though. One interesting non-writing related fact about you.
Oh, God. I don't know. Non-writing related fact.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. I developed a test to tell if people are there's elder abuse. I used to work in research, and I helped develop a test for Alzheimer's testing that is used by police departments.
Oh, wow, that's good.
Yeah, wow.
That's all I could think of.
That's good, though. That's good. I would never have guessed. Oh, in our bonus question, baseball or stamp collection?
Baseball or skin collection?
Stamp collection.
Oh, collecting. I thought you said skin collection. You see the darkness coming out. I was like, skin collection.
Right.
That's interesting. Not like that.
Baseball or collecting skin.
Yeah, I was like, skin collection. I'll take skin collection. Stamp.
That's
I don't
skin
like
collection. I like that. That's a good one.
I'm telling you, we've had some, like, extreme horror writers come on the show, and whenever I say puppies or kittens, I do have a little bit of a fear that they're going to say something like, you know, depends on how hard you throw them at the wall, or, you know, something like that.
Aww.
So far, nobody's done that yet, but I do fear that when I ask that question of the extreme horror writers. But, you know, so far, they've been really good, but now that I'm thinking of your skin collecting...
I like that, yeah.
I swear, that's what I heard. I was like, skin collection. Well, every time I like pieces of skin you've cut off or like dead skin that somebody just peeled off because it makes a difference, you know?
It doesn't. I can't stop laughing though when I'm thinking about it. Skin collecting with TBJ Cole.
Exactly. It's the new thing.
That could be a really scary or horror book or something.
It could be. It's kind of like The Collector. Have you ever read that?
Which one's that?
The Collector by John Fowles?
No.
Like,
I saw that.
Harold
is
the first psychological thriller.
Oh, wow.
I don't watch movies. But it's really good. I think it was written back in like the 60s or 70s. He's a British author. But
I've not heard of that one. I know that I think it was a Clive Barker. I think it was part of these Books of Blood about a guy who had a tattoo that somebody wanted, and they might have predated Clive Barker actually, but he wanted and they paid him and that had the tattoo when he died, and then they sort of helped him along a bit so they could have the tattoo sort of thing. Kind of cool. Well, you think, I have tattoos, you know, and I would, yeah, I could just see some of my tattoos up on somebody's wall in a few years, you know, so
be shame.
Spend a lot of money on them. Don't waste them.
That's true.
It works
a lot.
I'm getting all kinds of ideas. Oh my goodness.
There you go.
We want to mention in the book.
Yes,
okay?
Of course. I'll make the characters named after you. He wants to be the skin collector and he wants to be the victim.
There you go. Happily donate any of my tattoos for the cover art as well if you want. Not a problem.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
There you go.
We are just about out of time for our first segment, but I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. And can you tell us where we can find you online?
I've got an Amazon page where you can keep up all my updates on Stevie J. Cole and Instagram. I think it's Stevie Cole 33 because, you know, I have to make it difficult.
So there's
and
another 32.
Sure we...
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we have all your links put up on our Facebook page, so if anybody wants to stalk Stevie, they can go there and do it. And do you promise to come back and see us again?
Of course. I've got to get
Yay.
My skin somehow, right?
Yeah. Thank you, Stevie.
All right. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you. And we will be looking forward to your skin collection book. It should be out.
Yeah.
Here, so.
All right. Thank you, guys. You have a good night.
A signed copy. You have a good
okay.
one, and we'll speak to you again soon. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There we go. We should have a section where we sort of, you know, brainstorm and create our own sort of on-air novel. I think that'd be great.
Yes.
The ideas that we throw about are pretty wild,
was it,
I think. But,
Was it last week or the week before with your radiator thing? You really love that radiator.
Radiator porn. I love that. It's one of the best ideas I've heard in a long, long time. It's just, and like I say, you know, in that business, you know, you think you've heard everything. You think every possible kink or twist or whatever, and then somebody comes up with radiator porn. You say, hell, I did not know. That I mean, I think I told you I saw a documentary about objectophilia years ago, about a young lad. I mean, he's like in his mid-20s, maybe his early 30s, and fell in love with his car. And he actually explained how he had sex with his car. And then and the worst thing, I mean, I felt for his father. He introduced his father. He was going to marry this car. Introduced his father to the car as his girlfriend. And his poor dad. I'd have put the kid down. I'd have waited while the camera was down. Now, I'll put you into this world and damn well get you out, kid.
It does make you wonder what had to have happened or something.
It's a thing. People can fall in love with, you know, a thing, you know.
Object. Yeah.
It is, you know. You know, it's one thing, you know, I mean, you know, loving your iPhone, but another thing, you know, wanting to marry it and have sex with it, you know, it's just
there's definitely.
Don't do that. Don't do that. That's just not normal. Not normal. You know, there's a lot of, I'm very accepting of a lot of things in fact, but that, no. No.
Don't
and in case you're wondering, it was mostly using the tailpipe.
Oh,
so,
God. I wasn't wondering. I wasn't.
I wanted to know, and that in his father. I mean, for the cameras, his father was incredibly well composed. But I'd if that was my lad, I'd have just cried, to be honest, openly.
Oh.
You know, meet my girlfriend. You know, she's a Camaro. Don't fuck the car, son. Just don't do that. Just please. I need to have a word with my boy. Do we have any? Have we got any commercials this evening?
Sure.
Or not? Are you not bothered? You're just not bothering tonight?
No. You know, I'll decide to do them in between sips of my beer. I'm good.
Okay. There we go. Good luck.
How about Books Publishing is pleased to announce the arrival of another Taboo anthology, The Big Book of Bootleg Horror, Volume 2. Following close on its heels comes Depraved Desires, Volume 2, an anthology of dark erotica and erotic horror, compiled and edited by internationally best-selling author Bonnie Capps. And finally, horror author P. Madden has summed up a new anthology, Devils, Demons, and Denizens of Hell. Go to hellboundbookspublishing.com to purchase these anthologies. We also are proud to announce our very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read this fall, do you say it changed it to fall and not summer? Here we go. Check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com. And don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website, www.panicroomradio.com.
Woo-hoo. Hope the listener was making notes. Got all that written down. Cause...
Was that going too fast? I thought it wasn't.
No, you were good. You were fine. And well done for sort of updating it. Spring. That was great. Well done. So, hey, we're going to have a couple of minutes break, and then we're going to come back with Becky the Reviewer and our friend Lance Tuck. So, I'm going to go for we. So, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to part two.
대회를 앞두고 경제발전과 인민생활 향상에 크게 이바지할 수 있는 수많은 주요 대상 건설을 짧은 기간에 훌륭히 완공하고 당 중앙에 중종의 보고서들을 보내어 왔습니다.
Kim phones in, don't you, Xtina?
I was wondering what you were doing.
God bless him. So I said, God bless him. God bless you, Kim. You fat twat. There you go. International incident there. What happens next? Oh, is it Becky? It's Becky, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Is it?
She's always She's always worried you're going to forget her now because of that, you know, 1 week when you
I forgot once. I tell you what I could do is just not let her on and then we'll just talk about her. Could we do that?
We sure. Well, I think she would be really, really mad at us tomorrow, though, or even later tonight if we did that.
We would never do that.
No, we love Becky.
Becky! How are you?
Hey!
Hello!
I'm all right.
How are you
well,
this evening?
Well, didn't forget me.
Oh, hang
I'm
on,
good.
Hang on.
How
what
are you?
We've got... We need to play your jingle.
Oh, hey.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
Oh, no. So, what have you got for us this evening, Becky? It better be good. It better be good. Seriously.
It is really good. It really is.
Better be.
You'll love this. You'll love
what
this.
Have you
I'm
got?
Telling you. It's The Big Book of Bootleg Horror, Volume 2.
Oh, sexy.
Yes. It is an amazing anthology. There are, I think, if I counted correctly, we all know how that is. I think there are 26 stories.
That is value for money, isn't it?
It really is. And,
yes.
I mean, it's such a diverse group of writers, and the stories are all so very different. I mean... One of these days, I want to see somebody do an anthology where they all tell the same story and see the different takes on it, you know?
I think that'd be dull, to be honest.
You really do?
Yeah, you know what's going to happen. Just be slightly different styles and, you know. It's a bore
well,
me.
I mean, like if you gave them, like, the beginning paragraph and let them run with it and see where that took them. I mean, well, anyway, you're probably right. That's why, you know, you're the writer and I'm the reviewer.
I don't know. You've written a few bits and pieces, which are pretty good. So don't pull yourself down. Pick yourself
okay.
up a little bit. You know, you can string a word or two together, which is nice.
Yeah, I can cause some havoc here and there.
There you go. So tell us more about this fantastic anthology.
This is just. Some of the best stories I've read in a long time. There's so much talent in this book. These authors are really great. I would
buy
this and then would buy it to give as a gift to people. I mean, I really
oh, wow.
would because I really, I was really impressed with it. Hellbound has such a great thing for their books are clean, they're pretty, they're right, you know, and that's just, you know, the authors should be really proud that, you know, that their anthology is, their stories are in this anthology. And I'm sure most of them that I know that I've talked to, you know, they are. But my absolute favorite story in this anthology is called Deranged, and it's by Thomas Gunther. And if y'all haven't read this, you have to. It is really good, and it creeped me out.
Nice.
I was like, oh, no. And I will be honest, I read it twice.
Wow.
I read it, and then I was like, oh, no. Uh-uh. I had to have read that wrong. So I read it again, and I was like, okay, I didn't. It was, you know. And then David Owen Hughes, who I love, has a story in this. Jack Buckenstein has a story in this. I mean, there's so many great writers
him.
In this.
I do. Every time.
He is great.
Yeah, for Depraved Desires 1 and 2. I think he was in 1, and I remember, I actually don't remember, but it seems to me like I even approached him, would you please contribute to Volume 2? Because he's great. Oh, I loved his writing.
He is the one that wrote the story about knife play in the first one that I came to you and said, who the hell is this guy? My God, he can write. And
I know.
He's the one that I wrote with for Depraved Desires 2.
Mm-hmm. I remember reading the knife play, and never before had I ever thought that knife knife play could be sexy at all. But after reading I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I was too. I was like, oh, my God. But, yeah, he's and I mean, you know, he's really diverse, too, because, you know, he can write a good kinky story, but he can write a really good horror story, too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But, and a lot of these guys are like that, you know. David Owen Hughes is like that. He's so diverse. He can, you know, he can write, you know, a kinky part in a book that'll make you go, oh, my God. And then the next minute he can make you go, oh, I am going to go barf. You know, I cannot believe that someone had that kind of imagination. But, I mean, you know, and that's one thing that I really like about, you know, all these authors that are in this anthology is, you know, they really can write in so many, you know, in such a big realm of, you know, ghost stories and just downright horror and, you know, things that make you go, what the hell have they been drinking?
And I loved what you said about the appearance of the book itself, because I would never talk about any of the other indie publishing houses around. I would never do that. But I've been in a few anthologies that, you know, I got the book and, you know, there were extra pages. There were, the editing was off. There's just, you know, mistake after mistake that I was like, oh God, cringing, you know.
Yeah.
And you can't say that. I don't think, not with these, you know, not with Hellbound books. I really, you know, I'm proud to have my name on any part of it. I really am. So
me too. Because I mean, you know, I'm kind of funny about, you know, I don't write a whole lot, but, you know, I'm really kind of backwards about letting somebody see what I wrote, much less publish it. So, you know, that's saying a lot for me. And I know that a lot of these guys that are in this are like that too. And I know that a lot of them have said something to me about, man, you know, I never once worried about my stories being edited right. I never worried about, you know, mistakes in the stories. You know, it's just, it's pristine, and I'm, you know, that's really something to be proud of.
Yeah, I think so too.
So where can we find this mighty tome?
You can find it on our website at hellboundbookpublishing.com, and it will take you to the link on Amazon to purchase it. And I highly recommend it, and I recommend that you buy two or three of them and give them away as...
And it's available as e-book as well on all formats, not just Kindle. So anybody
right.
who doesn't have a Kindle, so there.
That's right. You can get an actual book that you can feel and smell.
Actually, you know, I do. I like my Kindle, but I like an actual book. I like a that you can hold and you know, flip the pages and fold the pages over and just have it and
smell it.
There's nothing quite like opening a brand new book for the first time. It's just
right.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting on Tenebrium? Is that how you say it? Tenebrium? How do you say it?
It was delayed because of Harvey. It literally went in the post a couple of days ago, so it is also the mail. They were just not taking anything in and nothing was going out, but it should be with you shortly. It is on its way, so don't panic.
You got mailed a book? You got mailed a book? We're gonna have to talk.
Yeah, but Becky, you don't know what she had to do to get the book, so consider yourself lucky.
Damn it!
Okay. I'll never tell. Never tell.
Moving on.
I don't.
So, thank you so much for that. As always, it was a pleasure. We're gonna get you to push off now, because we in the nicest way, we have our guests all waiting and excited in the virtual green room. So thank you, and we will see you again next week, my dear.
Thank you.
Right. You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye.
Speak to you later. Bye bye.
Bye.
Oh, but you know, she's always happy. She's always happy.
I know always, she is.
Always suspicious of people who are happy all the time. You know? What do they know? You know, but there you go. So, hey, I'm going to hit the button now. We should have horror writer Lance Tuck with us. Are you there, sir?
I am here.
Yay! How are you, sir?
Doing well.
Good. Thank you for joining us again. Again, you know, you've been on before. You should know better, but there you go.
I appreciate the second pass.
No, we appreciate it. Probably more, you know, say we didn't scare you off, which is fantastic. So, excuse me. I'm choking to death here. So what have you been up to since we last spoke?
I've gone back to work in the tattoo shops. I've been tattooing and piercing for the past several months.
Awesome.
Yeah, I've been working on some stories.
Okay, so I'm going to... it's obviously a short story published in Devils and Demons and Denizens of Hell.
Yeah.
Which is called Through the Needle. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, it's a story that it's about a young man who is very misguided and who is going to pay the price for his misguided ways, which has to do with an artifact that was in his family's possession that he took. He thought that it didn't necessarily belong to him, but it has sent him in a very bad place.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I like that.
he's a musician, and it involves that. Now, I don't know anything about music myself. I was kind of working with it as I wrote it.
Oh, right. Interesting. So why make your protagonist a musician then? Was it just that was the character that fit, or?
It has to do with the properties of sound and what sound does to the barriers between dimensions. Musicians have always been used to try and contact other planes of existence. So it's those vibrations that interfere with the geometry of space-time and allow things to transition through. So it tends to happen more often to people that produce sounds like that.
Oh, interesting.
Really,
yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. So,
yeah,
you have to be a musician, yeah. I must admit, I saw, you know, Through the Needle. I thought immediately, obviously, with the link with tattooing, I wondered if it was, and they do, obviously it's not, so I was wrong there, but...
No, this is a phonograph needle, actually.
Right, gotcha, yeah. And, you know, there'll be maybe people listening who remember those, which has made me feel old, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, scary. A few years ago, my eldest, we went to, it was back in England, went to a car boot sale, or whatever you call them here. And there was somebody selling vinyl on a little stand next to us, and he said, "What's that?" He had no, I'd never seen vinyl before. he got to like 12 and never seen vinyl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, seriously. And it's like, wow. I was explaining it to him. It's like, wow, really? and there will come a time, there'll be a generation of kids who will never seen a CD. You know,
well, that's
that
true.
Day's coming. That day is coming very quickly, I think. But, although vinyl is making a bit of a comeback now, I've noticed. Indie stores are popping up here and there. So maybe there's a research. Yeah, I don't think, again, we were talking about books, you know, physical books. I don't think anything will, again, I'm going to sound old, anything will really replace, you know, the joy of buying an LP, you know, reading the cover sleeve and having the vinyl in your hand and all the rest of it. You know, it's. I think the modern day, modern life is just sucking the joy out of everything, which is sad.
It is. It takes the hunter-gatherer thrill out of it.
Doesn't it just? You know, that wonderful crackle when you first put the record on the turntable, and you've got that little tiny ball of dust that's gathered on the needle, and you just get that nice, dull, crackly sound. It's just nothing quite like it. You know.
Yeah, no, I did have some records. I never bought any, you know, new or anything. I think that was a little bit, you know, before me. But I did have some records. I was all excited because and I used to play it over and over again. This is so embarrassing. You know that song, Grease, from the movie Grease. You know, Grease.
Oh, yeah.
I had that on a record, and I would play it over and over again. really, really loud, and I would sing into my fan.
Oh, I bet that was fun. That was fun. Well, I mean, sure. My best friend, he actually had the album. It was a double album, actually, and he had that. And he used to put it on cassette for you. He used to tape it for you. It was great, you know. So I had Grease on tape for many, many years. Many years. I now have it digitally, rather sadly, but there you go.
Well, I want to hear this the short story that Lance has for us. Do you have a reading for us, Lance?
I do.
Yay.
You got a brief reading here to start it out.
Okay.
Are you guys ready?
Yep, yes, go for it.
All right. If it starts to get weird in the audio, just let me know.
Will do.
Okay. Mark. All right, I'm starting now. As Mark ran, he tried to put together what had led up to this life-or-death struggle. His head felt like an eggshell about to burst from within, throbbing with the effort of concentration. It was the city, he knew that, but which one? They all seemed the same to a lost country boy. Maybe it was Miami, but the sky was black, shrouded by a weird smog. Felt like a storm was just about to break. He could see movement in the windows of the buildings, fleeting glimpses of individuals, oblivious or indifferent to the struggles taking place beneath them. He couldn't escape the sense that his progress was being watched with great interest, like a rat running in a maze. It had to be the man who was after the needle that had set this in motion. The needle was the only thing of value Mark ever got from his family, and that only at a tragic cost. Well, a tragic cost to them. He'd been working at a refrigerated warehouse just outside of Atlanta when he got the letter, telling of the fate that had befallen his great-aunt and great-great-grandmother in his absence. Mark Aaron was the sole beneficiary of their wills, and there had been a matter of taxes to which he needed to attend. He had to survey the property with an assessor from the insurance company and determine the value of the remaining property after the fire. It seemed to have started in the kitchen and quickly consumed the main house. His great-great-grandmother's upstairs had been spared the flames, but his aunt's room, the wine cellar, the antique furniture, all destroyed. Mark had hoped to be able to sell some of the furniture or clothing, but it was a total loss. It looked like he was in for one hell of a tax bill with no means to pay it off. His music career was going to be seriously derailed by this unexpected expense. He would have to work all the overtime they would give him at the refrigeration plant to settle the taxes. No one would want to buy a ruined house. Perhaps the land had some value, but he didn't have the expertise or money to broker a fair deal. His great-great-grandmother's apartment was miraculously untouched, and its contents turned out to be a salvation. The downstairs, once a familiar prison, was now a charred skeleton of a home, absolutely alien to his memories. But the upstairs apartment had always been forbidden. Seeing it now was a sort of revelation. All the sounds and smells that drifted down from the lofty heights were finally laid bare, their guardian dead, her secrets exposed. He was like an archaeologist prying into the tombs of the dead for profit. He knew his great-great-grandmother had once been a figure in the public eye, if not actually famous. The letters and photographs that were now scattered around the abandoned living room told a far more compelling story than he had ever heard. The old woman named Aya Singer had once been the toast of the town, belle of the ball. She was young, brilliant, beautiful. She'd married a powerful European banker who was mostly absent, leaving his young bride alone and bored in New Orleans, with an effectively limitless bank account. It was a recipe for corruption. Her taste had always been somewhat exotic, and she had taken an interest in certain esoteric arts that were practiced in the South. She acquired a circle of friends with similar interests, and together they had indulged in certain experiments which, according to her letters and journals, seemed at first to be miraculous. Later writings were far less optimistic in their characterizations. They had been a diverse group of well-to-dos, artists, actors, musicians, scientists, mystics, and dope fiends, hashish, opium, solanacea, banisteriopsis, a veritable pharmacopoeia of consciousness-altering substances flowed freely at their parties. Secure in the deep woods, the Singer House had seen more than its fair share of such festivities. Mark had found a set of photo albums that had a visual record only be called orgies and a familiar architecture that now lay blackened and ruined. He had never imagined. Apparently, neither had her husband, Gabriel. The man had heard rumors of his wife's indulgences in his absence and returned from Europe without warning. There were few photos or news clippings from that time, and it was clear that Gabriel Singer had put an end to the festivities. This precipitated a vicious divorce highlighted by a very public paternity dispute. It was ultimately resolved in Arya Singer's favor. This was what gave the family their impressive wealth, but hostility severed any contact between the two lineages. Maestro Helmholtz was conspicuously absent in any of her later diary entries, as if he had abandoned his young lover to the tender mercies of her raging husband. Left alone, Arya retreated to her bedroom and her opium dreams, listening to the old records that had been the soundtrack to her youth. That was what he remembered the most about her, the music. She always listened to those old records and always on that ancient phonograph she kept in her boudoir. It sang out at all hours of the day, creeping into his mind, filling it with visions and emotions that seemed almost alien to him. That was what had inspired him to write his own music. If he was honest with himself, he had to acknowledge that some of his original music, the stuff that he thought he wrote himself, was actually derived from the phantom melodies that still echoed in his mind from the childhood exposure to Arya's collection. As Mark looked through the bureau drawers for cash or jewelry, he couldn't get the old songs out of his head. He hadn't come here for the music, but now it called to him. He dumped the top drawers onto the sumptuous mattress, carefully avoiding the sinister black stain that had penetrated deep into the fabric. There was a fortune in rings and bracelets, now tarnished from years of disuse. Bundles of personal letters and photographs also spilled out, along with business cards and pawn receipts long forgotten. "Jackpot," Mark said aloud, ignoring the little balding man with the thin mustache and thick glasses that was writing down everything he saw. The assessor was eager to record all of the heirlooms and works of art that might be of some value when it came time to settle the taxes. The rest of the place was a total loss, but just the jewelry from the first drawer would be enough. The clothes, the elaborate ball gowns, the handmade shoes, they'd be worth a fortune on their own as well. Mark took photos of the furniture and light fixtures to facilitate sale on some internet auction site. He had no romantic attachments to any of this crap. He wanted to sell everything. That is, until he found the old phonograph player. All right, and there's a good place to stop.
Awesome. Sinister stuff.
All right. Yeah, sinister trying to build stuff. Some atmosphere there.
No, that was great. You have a great reading voice as well. That was,
he does.
You
I was
should make
really
an audio book out of that. That was brilliant. So, so one of our listeners made the comment, it sounds very Lovecraftian. I mean, is that a big influence for you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. H.P. Lovecraft and Alan Moore, love both of them.
Mm-hmm. And it comes across, I mean, it's very atmospheric. I love the atmosphere that you build up there. That's great, yeah.
I was totally there. So I'm supposed to ask you about your biker days.
I wasn't really a biker. No, I don't ride motorcycles. I've never ridden motorcycles, but I sure hung out with a lot of them.
When I was a
teenager out in western Kansas, it's an isolated area, but there's populations of them that hang out there, and I had some friends lived down in Garden City, and they were hanging out with some fairly notorious individuals. Don't know if I should mention their names or even the groups they were with, but it was a particular group out of Chicago. A few of them had come into town, and they were hanging out with my old friend Stormy. Stormy's name was Sandy, and her kids, Teddy and Leah, were good friends of mine, my friend Tommy, my friend Sean's. So we were down there at the house hanging out. My grandpa bought me these awesome boots. I don't know if you're familiar with the old Chippewa boots. They make really high quality boots. A lot of the ones you can see that are up to the knee, they got good lacing on the front. Some of them are just like the straight highway patrolman boots. So I had some of those when I was in high school. I was pretty much a horse's ass. I was wearing them on the outside of my jeans and whatnot, showing them off, really cool. Didn't ride a bike, wore a biker jacket, had all that stuff. People gave me hell about it, but they were my work boots. I worked out in the country. There were rattlesnakes and whatnot, so you want something that goes up to the knee. I never postured that I was actually riding a bike. So we're hanging out down at Teddy and Leah's house one afternoon, and in come these fellas. They got these skulls and pistons on their jackets, and I'd never met them before, but Sandy's like, "Oh, yeah, this is my old buddy, Edley." I was like, "Oh," Edley comes up. He's introduced himself. "Yeah, I'm Edley." Says hello to my friend Sean. Says hello to my friend Tom. He's like, "But I don't give a fuck about you fuckers. I want to talk to you." Comes walking up to me. He's like, "I want to know if you can tell me where I can find a carburetor for a 1963 Panhead or some such thing. I don't know jack about bikes." So I'm just like, as this gentleman is asking me. Now, he's about 6'2". He's wearing these boots that come up to about his knees, but they're the lace-up fronts. Mine are engineer-style boots with straps on them, and he's looking at them. As he's looking at them, he's like, "Say, what size do you wear?" Stupidly, I reply, "12. He's like, close enough. Let me look at that. So I put my foot up. No, take it off. All right. So I take the boot off. I'm somewhat agreeable, you know. I hand it over to him. He's looking at it. He sits down. He starts to take his boot off. Like, well, this is an odd custom, I'm thinking. He takes his off, puts my boot on, stands up, barely fits. He jams his foot down in there. Yeah, that ain't bad. I'll trade you. I'm like, what? Trade you. This is a good pair. I was like, well, I can't do that. What the hell do you mean? I can't trade those boots off. Why not? Well, those are a gift from my grandma. What? It's like, my grandma gave me those. He looks at me just like he can't believe what I'm telling him. And he says, well, we wouldn't want to piss off grandma, would we? I say right back to him, I see you've met her. He knew we were friends at that point. He gave me my boots back.
I love that story.
Yeah, it was pretty amusing.
No, when I asked about, you know, your biker days, it's funny because I have a friend who lives in Florida, and her husband and their friends, they have like a little motorcycle club like thing. And the only thing I have to go by is, you know, Sons of Anarchy. That's like the only frame of reference I have when it comes to any kind of biker club thing. And I remember asking her one time, Is it like that? Is it like the, you know, the show? And she's like, if I told you, I'd have to kill you. So.
Yeah.
So is it like the show?
More than you might expect.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, watching the show, there's a lot of stuff that's like, yeah, that's familiar. Yeah, yeah, I've had to hide those before. Yeah,
oh
yeah.
Gosh.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to get caught with that. Oh, no. Yeah,
well,
we weren't like a little spot or anything, you know. Yeah, we were just a bunch of country kids that were bored and trying to find something fun to do.
I think that's one of those days. Yeah, bored kids are just.
That's really all it
was.
Yeah,
recipe for disaster.
Yep, we had a lot of television to instruct us, and not a whole lot of intelligent information. We were trying to do all the stuff we saw on TV. We were dressing like all the crazy people we saw. It was great. I lived in such a small town that normally in a school, you got different cliques, right? You got the jocks, you got the goths, you got the religious kids, you got the motorheads, you got the greasers, you got all them. My school was so small that I was both the Satanist, the biker, and the metalhead. We're all three, right?
Oh. Nice.
All by yourself.
Yeah, very, very distinct group. And the funny part, I'm not a Satanist. I don't ride a motorcycle. I do listen to heavy metal. But I had a fun experience at a church. My friend Tad's dad was a preacher at one of the Assembly of God churches. They always invited us in, but they were very rude in many instances because they'd always tell us, well, you should forsake Satan. It's like, hell, I'd have to meet him first. So I'm standing there.
True.
One of the really intense ones who really has had issues with me, he's looking at me. So I walk up and I press my hand against the wall. I stand there for a couple seconds like that. He's like, what are you doing? I was like, just seeing if I can burn through. he was unamused.
The Baptist church girl in me cringes just a tiny little bit. You know, some habits are hard to break.
Oh, God, yeah.
It is good, though. So what are you working on now?
I've got a couple of different things going. I've still got some extensions into the Paladin sequence. I don't have all 13 books written, but my brain processes multiple stories at once. So I've got a story going on that's involving a program where they're trying to identify children with the potential to be educated in a very unique way. They want kids with developmental disorders, with communication disorders. They're particularly looking for kids who are on the spectrum, as they call it, and a very specific group of them because they've got something nefarious in mind for them.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You'll definitely have to come
back.
So
how many books in the series have actually got on paper now, Lance?
We've got three of them that have actually seen publication. There's a fourth one that is ready to see publication. I've got, I think, three others that are pretty much fully written, but need to be gone back through, sorted out a bit, details added and polished. And they're not in order. That's the thing. I've got like book 12 halfway done. Book 8. Yeah, I've got book 8 largely done. The whole story is already mapped out. I already know where everything's going with it. It's just a matter of getting the specifics of the individual stories, and some of them are easier to go with than others.
Wow.
And there's a lot of side stories that I just, when I have to drive to Kansas City every day, so it's about a 40-minute drive. So I just listen to music and let visuals go, and then I create story that goes along with the visuals. So literally every day I can come up with something new if I listen to the right stuff.
Right. Yeah, I used to do a lot of driving. I mean, not so much now, but
yeah.
I mean, it's great sort of tune-out time. You just let your brain
yeah.
just...
yeah.
Until they invented cell phones and car phones and that, and that kind of interrupted that. But I used to love my car time. It was just, you know, you're in your own little cocoon and, you know, your brain can wander off, which is great, you know. But is that where you do most of your creative thinking?
Yeah, a lot of it during that time period. Just the semi-hypnotic effect of the road, which I know doesn't sound good. People are like, oh, great, he's hypnotized and writing stories about demons while he's hurtling along at 70 miles an hour. But, yeah.
Yeah. <he's... laughs>
Yeah.
What more
can I
say?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know what's going on most of the time.
Yeah.
So I mean, I used to use a little recording thing because, you know, you get your best ideas when you can't write them down.
That's true.
That can be frustrating. Usually, you know, I have a lot of things in the shower. I don't know what it is about getting a shower. My wife got me this nifty little notepad. It's like a waterproof notepad and pen, which is I highly recommend that.
You know, I try that little voice thingy on my phone because I had an idea, and I tried it, and I was all excited because I left myself this really cool voice, you know, memo thing, and the next day I couldn't find it anymore. So that doesn't work for me. I know.
Oh,
I was like, I'm wondering, did I even do it? Or I don't know. So, I have to write things
down.
That's
frustrating. That is frustrating.
By the Google God.
But then I've written things down before that I wanted to make sure I didn't forget. And then, of course, I can't read what I wrote. So I'm just betting. I have no luck. Yeah, I don't.
Now that
just quick trying to remember stuff.
Maybe that's what it is. I have to stop trying to remember things. That may work. I don't know. I don't know. But I do message myself. On Facebook, I message myself. I know that I forget. I don't know. One of my kids was behind me or something, and they saw the message thing, and they're like, are you messaging yourself? Yes, I am. I mean, I don't message back. You know, I don't, like, talk back to myself. But I leave myself messages. I do.
Yeah.
But
I will email myself stuff, you know.
Yeah, I don't feel so bad now. Okay, there we go.
You know, if I'm out of the house, you know, I'll email it on my phone because you're terrible for this specifically, Xtina. You know, you will message me something. And then, you know how messaging works, and then, you know, after, like, you know, an hour, it's that far down the list on messages. I've lost it.
It's lost,
so
yeah.
So I will copy it and put it in my notes, email myself it.
Yeah. That's true.
Otherwise,
it's
gone.
They do have a little thing that you can search the messages, though, and, you know, if you have, like, a keyword. I have to do that all the time to look up certain things. Instead of actually writing it down, I just search. You know, I'm lazy. God, every time I talk about something I do or I don't do, I just sound really lazy. I do. I need to sleep for 3 days or something.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'd agree.
It's getting toward the end of our night here. Can you tell us where we can find you online, Lance?
I'm not personally online, but for stuff pertaining to the Paladin sequence, we do have a website. And right now, I don't have any books that are currently available. We're kind of between publishing right now, so hopefully they'll be back together soon, get stuff going where they'll still be available again.
Awesome.
What is our website?
We do have your links up on our Facebook page, so if anybody wants to stalk Lance, they can go there and, you know, stalk him away.
There you go. Tattoo business has been picking up, so I'm hopeful that I'll be able to get internet hooked up at the house, and then I can actually communicate with people.
That's
awesome.
So cool.
Awesome.
Do you have
an idea when the books will be available again, Lance?
We're hoping within another month or two that we'll have some out. There are still used copies available online for the first three, but the third one's kind of hard to get because it was a print-on-demand, and there weren't many printed. I saw one of them going for $80 the other day. It blew my mind. I was like, whoa!
Wow.
I was ready to pull a few out and sell them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So,
The first four will be available, but there will be a new one available.
Awesome.
The other three as well. And that one will be one about the Skinwalker.
When they're back on the shelves, then you need to come back, and then we can.
All right.
We can give it all another big plug, which would be awesome. It's
all right. I'd love it. Very more time down my grandma.
It's been as always. It's been a pleasure. Hopefully, we've not scared
you
off too much. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll speak to you again very soon.
Thank
all right,
you, Liam.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that's pretty much it. I don't know where the time's going. We say time flies when you're enjoying yourself, but I wouldn't know. So it's that time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.
Good night indeed.
Ooh la la, ooh la la, ooh la 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 la, ooh la la.